Welcome to the Training in Economic Discipleship based around 10 Biblical Principles of Kingdom Economics. This will be delivered with 30 podcasts or MP3s, beginning with a one-day or two-day consultation and finishing with a reporting back one day where you bring back your stories based on your evaluation. This podcast is a particular podcast related to the specific issue of usury or taking loans or giving loans with excessive interest that ends up in destroying people. Biblical word, the word that's used historically is the word usury in English. And in the scriptures it means giving loans to the poor in such a way that they cannot repay. And so they become indebted or enslaved. More recently, the last couple of hundred years, it's come to mean loans at excessive interest rates that push people further and further into debt. Both of these are forbidden in scriptures. It's forbidden to exact usury from your brothers. That's you can find in Exodus 22:25 or Deuteronomy 23:19-20, and many other places in the Old Testament. We're to give to the poor and not to expect interest on the payback. So this is specifically related to giving to the poor, charitable giving, charitable loans. But we will look at the issues as they relate to commercial loans a bit later. Historically, the church fathers have argued against usury. St. Ambrose around the 400s. Argued that the term brother had been universalized by the prophets, New Testament, so we should not take usury or give usurious loans from anyone. St. Ambrose, another great saint at that time, in contrast, proposed that the enemy, the alien, the outsider, if we're taking a business loan with such, then we could charge interest because the risk is very high that we might not get our money back. But then Max Weber, the great sociologist who was a Christian, in examining the evolution of Europe from tribal to universal man, he also concluded that the application of the principle for all becomes reasonable. Whichever one, the church historically has declared it to be reprehensible to make money by lending at interest. Unfortunately, the whole of global capitalism is strongly rooted in this concept. The early church fathers' canonical laws of the Middle Ages absolutely forbade the practice. I've got a very interesting story of a book 100 years old of a Catholic priest who had spoken in churches against usury and been dismissed by his bishop from preaching. He wandered back and forth from Ireland to France to the Pope and the Americas in order to have the church disprove what he had written, which then became a standard text. He says, "Usury is destructive of that equality ordained by common sense and reason in the dealings of man with man. It's against the law of nature." When I've spoken against the evils of capitalism in various contexts, some good friends have taken me to task. "Capitalism is Christian," they tell me. When I dig out old books, I have one by John Hobson, 1927, a great English economist who wrote a 700-page history of English economics, and that was matched by a German sociologist, Sombart, in 1902. And they indicate that nearly all the processes of amassing capital during the shift from feudalism to capitalism were exploitative, beginning with the papal treasury in Rome, which sucked wealth from the Roman churches, and then the knightly orders who, with their pillaging and plundering, amassed wealth in the royal treasuries of France and England, and the higher grades of the nobility who gained their treasures by rents of the peasants across England and France. There is an exception, which is the burghers, the people who owned the land at the centre of towns and villages. Often over time would be able to rent out land, rent out shops, and with a reasonable profit begin to amass some fortune, relatively just. But surplus capital is the foundation of capitalism, and as feudalism moved to mercantilism, or the global trading processes, the discovery of precious metals through global conquest or piracy, enabled the development of a capitalist business class. And to fund such wars and to sustain the role of nobility, then moneylenders became essential. And the phrase moneylender is very much linked to the concept of usury. In England, these were first Jewish, because the Jews were not subject to the church's ban on usury. Then Italian, and by the 16th century, they were English families. But it was colonialism that fueled capitalism, the exploitation of other portions of the world through military plunder, unequal trade, forced labor. This was the one great indispensable condition of the growth of European capitalism. It began with the destruction of the Arab civilization, then the plundering of Africa, the impoverishment and the desolation of southern Asia and its island world, the fruitful East Indies, and the thriving states of the Incas and the Aztecs in Latin America. And that's a quote from a sage economic historian over 100 years ago, closer to those dynamics than we are. So if I am emotional when I speak of usury, exploitation, colonialism, and capitalism, I may be emotional, but that's not irrational. Some roots of capital may be Christian, according to Tawney and Max Weber, but history tells of this dark side from its inception, and that dark side must be resisted and controlled. So we end up with a resistance to colonialism, be it political or modern-day economic colonialism. In addition to capital, the global exploitation resulted in the slave trade. And that provided cheap labor, along with the migration of the rural peasants in Britain, as their lands were enclosed in the enclosures, the common land where the sheep used to graze, the feudal lords enclosed them. The peasants then were forced to go to London. And these conditions continue to this day. Capitalism requires a dispossessed, poor population in the cities in order to function. Now, Calvin took a different approach to the Catholic Church on the issue of usury and to historic Christianity. He taught that lending money with interest was not wrong in principle, but the extortion that goes along with it is wrong. So he prohibited excessive interest or lending that did injury to a neighbor. And in a sense, he bestowed a religious endorsement on the principle of credit. The Catholic Church has since followed. It says it has not changed its doctrine, but simply that the nature of money has changed. So the Catholic Church now puts its funds out at interest and has done since the beginning of the 1900s. Max Weber, the sociologist I mentioned in this famous work, The Protestant Worth Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism, indicates that Calvin had a cluster of teachings that resulted in the liberation of capitalism across Europe. And he indicated that as people fulfilled their vocations in business, as they were successful, this demonstrated their salvation. It affirmed qualities of thrift, diligence, sobriety, frugality. So he harnessed religion to economic development. But I think we'd have to venture to suggest that it was this change related to usury at a structural level that was a negative advancement, and this was also a major factor in releasing capitalism. So over the last decades, the last two centuries, it's a common understanding that interest is accessible, but excessive interest is not. But with the creation of the credit economy, and particularly of credit cards, and then what is called in the States the prime sector, there is a whole population who end up with bad credits, immigrants who cannot get credit, or those who've never accessed the credit system. And this loaning to these people at high interest rates has gained wide notoriety as a result of the part that it played in precipitating a crisis in the global credit market crash of 2008. When people were given lower rates, unable to pay, and so the financial institutions themselves found themselves under pressure. So subprime lending is lending directed to those who do not meet conventional credit worthiness criteria. And so loans are given which people cannot repay. So subprime loans on mortgages and houses meant that people could not repay them as the interest rates went up. And so eventually this crashed the economic system. But what we're facing today is the expansion of consumer credit over the recent decades through the expansion of the credit card industry and the banks giving out loans beyond their capacity to repay if the people all at once recalled their loans. Now, normally a bank, it gets your money, it then gives it out to someone else as a loan, and not everybody's going to try and take those loans back at a given time. So banks, if they give out four times, five times the amount of money they have, they're not likely to collapse. But currently they're giving out 20 to 30 times the amount of money that they have. And even a small change in the market can collapse the system. And so many experienced this during those days in 2008. And there were many unjust practices that were what the United Methodist Church in England calls predatory lending, targeting a certain segments of society, often the elderly, the poor, the minorities, and then charging increasingly high rates and certain ways of packaging these loans and on selling them. These all are part of this whole dynamic of usury becoming an acceptable and even celebrated part of the global banking system. So we are to not give loans at excessive interest. If we give a loan to the poor and they can't repay, we make it a gift. If it's a business loan, a commercial loan, then we weigh up the risk, but again, we do not charge excessive interest. We charge a reasonable interest based on the risk. And we had to keep ourselves from going into debt and from taking out usurious loans, which means we had to keep ourselves from the credit card industry. If we cannot repay our credit card debt the month we take out, then we start paying interest at a high rate. At that point, we had to cut up the credit card. Just pay it off. Yeah.